the focus and needed to do this sport. I think it's like one of the few sports where you need a lot of patience and focus to pursue it and be at a high level in it, right?
You need a lot of that, and you need a lot of like mental game, like being on the wall, even if it's bouldering, but usually on big walls. I know a lot of strong climbers that could be stronger, but it blocks them from the fear of like, just, you know, you can do the move, but when you're above your next bolt and you know there's a big fall coming, like, it just blocks a lot of people. It takes a lot of focus and concentration, and you got to be in the game because it could be dangerous.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 714 podcast. Today, I've got my man Joshua here. How's it going?
Good. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I know for those listening and watching, like, we had a little bit of technical difficulties here, but we made it through. And it looks like your setup looks good. Like all your equipment in the back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So for those who don't know you, you rock climb, and I've found you through one of your TikToks, actually. I think it was a few weeks ago, and it was a crazy video of you like climbing onto a bridge, I believe. It was a kind of a bridge, and you managed to climb up on there. And when I saw that, I was blown away by the strength it takes to do all that. And I think that clip actually went viral, right? And it was on like SportsCenter. Yes. It was crazy. How'd that feel to go up on there?
Yeah, it really was all of a sudden. It's a cool video. It's a cool bridge. I put it on Instagram. Then I saw that it started to get a lot of views. So then I'm like, I guess I should go post a TikTok because that's what's working these days, you know? Put it on TikTok, and then in 24 hours, it blew. I got about 25,000 followers. Wow. And it was just like, oh man, like what's happening here?
Yeah, crazy.
And then it took a week after that. But I think most people, like SportsCenters, when they're the first people to contact me, telling me they saw the TikTok. Mm-hmm. And so they posted it on... They wanted to repost it. And then from there, it was just a chain reaction. Puberty and like all a bunch of other people were just... Then now it's just on Instagram. I'm getting more and more followers and like great, nice comments. People are writing to me. I'm trying to answer everyone. A lot of support. People think it's super cool.
That's the power of social media. It mm-hmm. brings a community aspect to whatever you're doing. I think even like the smallest of groups get a spotlight of sorts, and it's good to see. But I want to talk about your story a little bit. Like, how did you get into rock climbing, and why did you want to pursue it in the first place?
So for the start of rock climbing, it's simple. I actually started with an ex-girlfriend of mine. It was just to find like a couple, we're both pretty, we like sports. So like a couple sports, something we can do as like a couple. And that's really just how it started. We go to the gym together, you know, you can boulder alone, but when you want to do ropes and stuff, you need to have a partner. So we started out as just climbing and together at the gym. And then I just got really hooked. I got hooked and just more and more. I just did more and more climbing, got into it, and now I'm here.
Yeah, it's
been. I've been doing competitions. I've been doing. I do all. There's so many different climbing. So many different. There's like lead climbing, avenues. Sport climbing. Many different.
Different aspects sections.
I try to do it all. I do it all. You know. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your favorite part of it?
For outdoors, I like routes. A lot of people do like the bouldering outdoors. Like what I did, that bridge climb, it's bouldering, right? But it also has its own it's actually called Bouldering. It's also actually has its own like bouldering on like buildings in a city. It's Bouldering. It's not Bouldering. Like super big or anything, but it has its own name. So in gyms, on competitions and stuff, I way prefer the boulders. They're way more fun. They're you like gymnastics or parkour. They have a lot of like, but when I'm outdoors, I like to get on the mountain, get on some big walls and just make it up big wall. So sport climbing for outdoors, but bouldering for indoors.
Okay. Yeah. I've always been fascinated by rock climbing because focus and needed to do this sport. I think it's like one of the few sports where you need a lot of patience and focus to pursue it and be at a high level in it, right?
You need a lot of that, and you need a lot of like mental game, like being on the wall, even if it's bouldering, but usually on big walls. I know a lot of strong climbers that could be stronger, but it blocks them from the fear of like just you know you can do the move, but when you're above your next bolt and you know there's a big fall coming, like it just blocks a lot of people. It takes a lot of focus and concentration, and you got to be in the game because it could be dangerous. Like a lot of people would say rock climbing is dangerous. If you do it right, it's mostly safe, but you have to make sure that you're always focused. You're always not making a mistake as you're climbing because things can go wrong pretty quick.
Yeah. I know you probably know Alex Honnold, right? The free climber.
Yeah. Free solo.
Free solo. Yeah.
Because
that to me is probably the scariest in my opinion. Like for most people, it's like climbing a mountain without any harness or anything. And like, you just have to get in that zone. I believe just knowing that you'll get to the top.
Yeah, I do. There's not a lot of people around here that free solo, but I do free solo. And you just, when you climb on ropes, you take more risks. You know, you go for some moves that are risky. But when you're soloing, you're in the zone. You're 100% sure that every move is perfect and that you're not going to slip. You just know. I'm going to do a little risky move. Maybe Hanno does once in a while. But if you watch free solo, you see he works the thing a lot. Like it's made to stress you out, but he had it dialed in for sure. Like,
because you don't just go to the mountain like first day and then climbing. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
What is your experience of when you want to climb a mountain? What do you look for, and how you can get up? What are some aspects that you look for?
Well, when you go to a certain mountain, there's always a guidebook with all the climbs. You see all the lines, and there's a lot of difficulties. It starts around 5.7. There's even 5.6. There's even lower, but 5.6, 5.7 for beginner, and it goes all the way until 5.15, 5.15, and it goes 5.10, A, B, C, D, 5.11, A. So you go to a mountain, you go to a climbing spot, you get a guidebook, maybe online, maybe on the book. You find the grade you think you're able to climb, and it usually it's all written down how popular they are, how fun they are, how dangerous they are. So you find your style. I try to try a little bit of everything, but I like it when it goes the bigger routes. I like the big long routes. Some routes can be 20 feet, some can be 100 feet. I like the longer the better.
Yeah, it's crazy that like humans have gotten to this ability of just when you get in a state of mind where you just know that you could climb something or go after it, it just becomes like a momentous feeling, and you grab that momentum and continue to grow that passion, really.
Exactly. You're always climbing, you're always making new goals. You always choose something you want to climb, then you work on it for maybe a week, maybe years. It depends how hard you're going. And then like you succeed that, you feel so great. And you just find your next goal. Like what do I want to do next? That is maybe a bit above my level. How you're always pushing yourself. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's crazy that the skill too, like how many times or how many hours do you practice usually?
So in the winter, everyone's pretty busy. I try to go to the climbing gym 3 times a week with like 3-4 hour sessions.
Okay.
And with COVID, the gyms are only like, you're only allowed to do a 2-hour session if they're open. When they were open, now they're closed again. But yeah, in the winter, 3-4 hours plus, if you can get a hangboard training at home, I like to do that.
What's that?
You need the rest days. I mean, it's so climbers train on a hangboard. It's just a board with a bunch of different pockets, 2-finger pockets, and you just hang, you add weight sometimes. You either work your endurance or you hang. You have to go as heavy as you can and see when you have to hang between 7 to 10 seconds. And that means that's your max. So you do that, then you take a 2-minute break. Then you do another 10 seconds and you just, that's how you train your finger strength and your forearms.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think is the most important aspect in training? Is it just the physical aspect, or do you believe mentally it's also a tough aspect to gain?
Mentally is definitely the toughest aspect to gain. When you're training your strength, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people for training like fingerboards and stuff, it's strength, but then you need to do a lot of rock climbing to it's very technical, like feeling how your body works, how the body position how the body has to move in the climb. That takes a lot of climbing. So you have to do a lot at the beginning, especially a lot of climbing. And then the mental is mostly just, it's hard. I mean, I know a lot of people that are stuck because they freak out. The mental, you just have to, people think the more they climb, the mental game would get better. But I think you have to push yourself. You have to be able to say, I'm going to do this climb, even though I'm scared, I'm going to push myself. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get over the mental. Because when I started to get over my mental game, I was just going for moves that I was scared. But 85% of the times, I would be able to continue. And that's when I learned, like, when you push yourself, that's how you're going to get through the climbs.
Yeah, and you could, since you said, like, you could go in the indoor facility and practice those moves. And
exactly.
Maybe it's like a more safer environment than going outside. So.
It's still very scary.
Yeah, it's still scary, but it at least gets you in the mind state that it's possible to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's I think the key aspect there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the training that's required is actually incredible. And I know you've been on American Ninja Warrior, right?
Well, I haven't been on the show, but I've done the competitions where all the athletes do. In Canada right now, it's not as big as in the United States. Mm-hmm. And we still, it's honestly just starting. Like I made it this year. I qualified to go to it's Las Vegas, the finals.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the show. Like the show is a show, but all the athletes do those Ninja Warrior competitions.
Okay.
But the show is it's TV, right? But hopefully it'll come to Canada, because I'm definitely ready for it.
Yeah, for sure.
I have a background in gymnastics, and I've done all those. I've done a lot of different sports, and in Ninja Warrior, honestly, a big weakness of most ninjas is the climbing aspect. I think I do pretty solid. Well, I mean, I do very well in the competitions here, so. On the show, on the big stage, I think I can handle it.
Yeah, I think the climbing, isn't it the wall that a lot of people don't get back?
Exactly.
And
honestly, for me, I'm not that wall's a joke. Like I know you're tired, but yeah, and I know they really climber. I mean, they really get the Ninja Warriors with those with that climbing wall, like. Uh-huh. There's Ninja Warrior versus the World, which Sean McColl, a great Canadian competitor, was on. And yeah, he does all the climbing parts like you can like see. Easy. It's like, it's, uh-huh. yeah.
Yeah. When did you start training for that? Is that
for Ninja Warrior?
Training? Yeah, yeah. Is that training different? What do you
I honestly don't train a lot for Ninja Warrior. I just feel like I've done gymnastics, and then I went into tricking, which is like martial arts, like flips and kicks. And I started Ninja Warrior without any training. And besides maybe some cardio, I think I should do. I just feel great when I do Ninja Warrior comps. I don't train that hard for them. Yeah. It's just everything I do in life all the time, like climbing and then like other stuff. I'm just ready. I feel very ready for these ninja comps.
Yeah. It's all a mental aspect really. And knowing and preparing for it. So
yeah, exactly.
It's good to do that. And, I also, found out like you like, Logic's music, right?
Yeah. A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you listen to music while you climb?
Not as often as I would want to. Usually we're in the gym. Usually there's so many people. You're always talking to people. I'm always helping new climbers out if they want. Like with climbing, some people like to figure out, because a boulder is like, it's a puzzle. Like that mm-hmm. climb I did, when you get there for the first time, you have to figure out exactly how to climb it. So some people like to figure it out, but some beginners also like to know what to do. So when they're in the gym and then the easier problems they're trying to figure out, I'm like, would you like me to help you? Do you want to figure it out yourself? Or do you want some tips? And usually the beginners want tips. So I'm always like, it's rare that I get to put music, but uh-huh. it happens sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
I like his music as well. Like just, I saw you were at his, I think one of his early shows, right?
Yeah. Like before the first album, after the fourth mixtape, and it was in Montreal, and for some reason he wasn't as big. Like at that time, I think he was doing like 1,000 to 2,000 people shows.
Yeah.
And I think we were like we were less than 100.
Wow.
His security guard bought pizza for everyone because they were freaking out how small the crowd was. And he just chilled in the crowd after the show. So it was pretty cool. Yeah. I'm a big Logic fan.
Yeah. His music has always inspired me, like just mm-hmm. listening to it, his lyrics and everything that he's been through. But I think now he just retired last year, right?
And he did.
But I still listen to his music. It's amazing to listen to.
Like definitely it is my choice of music when I want to go hard, when I want to train. It's definitely Logic. I listen to too much Logic. Like I'm like, I should listen to other things, but when I'm hyped, when I want to get hyped, I just go hard to Logic. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy, man. What are your next plans for rock climbing? Where are you planning on going?
Well, I'm not planning on going, you mean traveling
or just in general?
Well, I got a couple of goals for this year. Like I was saying, there's different levels to climb. And so for sport climbing, there's a 514A route, which is pretty high level. I told you it stops at 515. I usually climb 513. So I want to do a 514A sports route this year. I know which one I want to do already. So that's
which
my
one
goal.
Is that?
Work on that. It's called Cassiope. It's in Baldy up north here from Montreal.
Okay.
And then there's also a trad climb, which is what. So when you trad climb, can I get up and get you these?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So when you're sport climbing, you're climbing on a rope and there's bolts like this. Somebody installed them years ago to set a route. It's a bolt like this. So you clip a draw to it. You clip your rope. So if you fall, you just fall on this.
You can't.
So before when you spoke about Alex and you said free climb and I corrected you, free solo. Well, usually climbing is free climbing because even though there's bolts and nuts and you still climb freely. This stuff is just there for protection.
Yeah.
Because there's also aid climbing. Yeah, exactly.
In case you do fall, it'll hold you.
Exactly. Because there's also aid climbing that when you aid climb, you can pull. It's really flat walls. You put small hooks, you pull on gear.
Mm-hmm.
So for sport climbing, really rough like movements, maybe technical, that's a 514A. Then there's Ben's roof, which is literally a roof that you climb a big crack. And I don't know if you saw my recent video I posted yesterday, but I'm climbing like a crack. And
I think so, yeah.
And for those you don't use bolt, you just throw something like this in the crack, then it expands and it holds you. So it's like natural protection, it's called.
Okay.
So you literally climb, the wall has no bolts, no nuts on it. It's just a blank wall with cracks. And they have a lot of different sizes of these. And you put it and you fall. So I want to do that 513A crack climb. It's a big roof. That's another goal for this year. And 513, like 13 trad climbs are not as climbed. Like, it doesn't, there's no 15 trad climbs. There is a 15 trad climb, but like, there's like only Tommy Caldwell. I don't know if you know who that is, that does that. Like,
okay.
You see him in free solo.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have any big bouldering goals this year, but yeah. So it's pretty much those, a 13 trad and a 14 sport climb is my goal for this year.
That's amazing to hear. Yeah. I mean, just the process of it, it probably in like movies and stuff, it doesn't seem as calculated, right? But when you explained it right there, you start to understand how rock climbers, they look for certain spots in the mountain to place a certain object right there you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it's very calculated. Like, you got to know exactly what you're doing, or else if one mistake, if this rock is loose in one area, it might fall and things happen.
That's why you usually do the climb over and over. Some like 515 climbs are done throughout three seasons. Climbers go back every season. First time you get on it, you learn the moves. So you try to figure out every move perfectly. And then, like, you get to the top, but the goal is to do it one shot, no falling. So you learn the moves. And once you learn all the moves, you go back every year and you try to do every move. And the moves sometimes are too hard for you, but you keep working them until you get them. Then you get to the next move and you do all the moves until they're all dialed down. And then you have them in your head and you just want, and then it goes from impossible to, wow, I can't believe I can do this. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's,
you just know by heart what you're doing. Like, a climb, I know I could like tell you by heart, left foot up, and then I go into the right hand, and then I bring my left foot up, and then I go reach just tippy toes, and then I can get something. Then I move my, like, you know it by heart when you're at that high level.
What's the toughest move in your opinion, like, to do while rock climbing? Is it, or it does it vary a lot and whatever?
It varies the climbs. It varies the climber. Like, I'm very good at just like mantling. I'm very like flexible to get a foot high up.
Yeah. I saw one of your videos and you were like climbing a boulder and then you got your foot all the way up to above your head actually. And then
almost maybe.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty flexible in that way. So some moves for me can be so easy and so hard for others. And then some people are just super strong and they can hold the smallest holds, and I'd have to get through that climb with a bit more technical, a bit more like slow, keep my body close to the wall. Every climb is different. Every climber is different. We all have different styles the way we climb.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. And what, in your opinion, what's the toughest climb you've ever done? And can you like walk us through the experience of what it was like to climb that?
It's hard to say. So definitely the climbs I'm going to attempt this year are going to be my hardest climbs. I've tried the Ben's Roof already. It's hard to explain my walkthrough of the climb. It's just, it's so many feelings. It's like you're nervous. You can't hold on anymore. And you're pumped. You don't want to fall because your head, like you're the gear is going to hold, but you're hoping it's going to hold. There's a chance it doesn't hold.
And a mix of emotions.
It's just all these emotions and you're like holding onto the rock and maybe too strong. That's what makes you so tired. And you get over a corner and then you get to stand on your feet just for a second. And then like, everything just feels so good.
Just summoning.
Just summoning, just like it's so hard. Like, my hardest climbs that I've done, I can't really explain right now that I could remember. You just remember getting through it. That's what you remember at the end. After all that, you're just like, your brain is rushing and you're just like, oh my God, like, you forgot everything. You forget everything. You're just like, oh my God, I can't believe I made it.
Okay. Yeah. Do you usually climb with other people or go by yourself? Okay.
Always with other people. Uh-huh. You always got partners. There's always other people at the mountain too, but
okay.
It's you need a belayer. You need somebody. You need somebody with you all the time. And even when you can boulder alone, but there's always, like, if you see my bridge climb, I just have a friend standing there like this. And there's a lot of comments about him, just like, it's funny, or what is this guy like doing? Like he can, but so his only job is just to make sure if I fall, there's just a little pad under me. It doesn't take that much room. So his job is just to make sure he gets me onto the pad. That's all. Okay. He's not trying to catch me or anything. So yeah, when you're outdoors on routes, you need a belayer. And when you're outdoors on boulders, you need a spotter. The only time you can't be alone is when you're free soloing. But I've always had friends not too far when I was free soloing. They don't like to watch, but they know if I wander off what I'm going to do. So you don't want to ever have an accident and be alone in the forest, right? At the mountain. So even when I've soloed, I've had people around the corner close by know that if I'm missing, it's because something went wrong.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a difference in the way you look at a climb when you're free soloing, and with when you have a harness and everything? Is there
I free solo a climb, it's definitely a climb I've climbed already on ropes, so I know it by heart. And it's after climbing a climb that I like a lot, which is a lot lower grade. Like I free soloed 110B, but or else I free solo 5.9s, 5.8s, which is a lot lower grade. And it's climbs that I like so much that I do once, I do twice, I do three times on ropes. Then I'm like, okay, this climb feels, I know this climb. Mm-hmm. Now, not everybody wants to do this, but then I'm just like, okay, I'm going to climb it without a rope. I feel confident. And so there's no difference the way I look at the climb, but it's a climb I know very well. But the way I climb the climb is very different. Like I said, just like I'm confident in every single move I do. I don't take any risks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy when your brain realizes that it can do something, it always does it. Like it's crazy. I've looked back at my life whenever I'm nervous or fearful in any way, and the second you start to believe in something, it just switches on this part of your brain basically, and your body just follows suit by itself. Yeah,
exactly. That's how it is.
Yeah, it's crazy. What's that metal behind you? I keep looking at that.
Right, this one.
Yeah.
This one is from the Ninja comp that I got second place that allowed me to go to Vegas to do the finals, which I did not happen because of COVID.
Oh, it was supposed to be last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully this year.
It's not always in Vegas. Like, that's where the show is actually filmed. This year, the international final was in Vegas, but it could be in any US city.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty crazy. What made you want to get into the Ninja Warrior competition?
It's just obstacle courses. My whole life is just something I always found super cool. And then I've been watching the show since season 6, I think. I just love it. I just think like I said, it just feels like me. It feels like I did fall in love with rock climbing, everything, and it's still my first love, but it just feels like it's all the skills I like, just jumping around and doing all this parkour / climbing, all these things. Yeah. It just feels right. It just feels like it's just something that I'm drawn to, like more than anything. Like I said, climbing's my first love for sure, but I'm so drawn to ninja. Not everyone thinks it's the greatest thing, and it's not the most popular sport, but I'm just like,
yeah, the different aspects of it.
Yeah.
It involves not only climbing, but also like maneuvering around different obstacles. And
I've always been the hyper kid. I've always been jumping around. I've always go to playgrounds that would climb on the structures, not play on the swings. I would climb where you're not supposed to climb. So it's just what
you just feels going right to do. Yeah.
Yeah. That just feels right.
Yeah. I think when I was a kid, I used to watch a lot of parkour videos there. I think it was big around like 2010-ish, like on YouTube, it was popping off. Yeah. And I used to just love watching those. And I was pretty small back then. And I would just like go out. I still love like climbing on rocks. I don't like actually rock climb, but rock climb, if there is if they're like rock. Boulders, yeah, like yeah. just climbing on top of rocks and
or like rock hopping and stuff.
Yeah, rock hopping. Yeah, that's I still love doing that, and I mm-hmm. think it's because I've just watching people and learning about
parkour.
It. Yeah, yeah. Who are some of your inspirations that are people that you look up to or watch that inspire you to get better or climb?
For climbing, I'm definitely a big Alex Honnold fan.
Oh yeah.
Even though he's a free soloist, and a lot of people are not stoked about the free soloing thing, but I just think he's I just like to watch him talk, and I understand him when he talks about soloing.
Yeah.
There's just so many strong climbers, honestly. Like, so another big, like Chris Sharma, if you get a chance after this, just watch some Chris Sharma videos. He's just the strongest ever. He's just so strong. He's open roots all over the world. He's just amazing.
Yeah, so Chris Sharma opening, is definitely... Opening roots means like you're the first to...
First, put it... exactly. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Damn. That's
he's,
wild.
He's got so many like all over. And he's just... You watch him. He's still super strong. And when back in the day, he was way beyond his level. Like he's always been way beyond like anyone.
Really?
He was, I don't know how he's that strong, but yeah. Mm-hmm. He was always...
Yeah, it probably takes a lot of practice and dedication. I think the greatest athletes in the world, they always perform at like and practice at a higher level than everybody else. Like I think Michael Phelps, I heard this somewhere where there's a normal training they do that's supposed to be really difficult, and you're supposed to only do it like maybe once or twice a day, and he's doing it for the Olympics. He did it four times a day to train and prepare for the Olympics. So it's that state of mind of being the best at what you do that exceeds everything else.
Every time I read autobiography or I watch a documentary on like the best athlete, you always finish like, no wonder this guy is the best. Yeah. Everything you learn on it, you're like, of course, this guy's the best. And sometimes it's like from birth, they were just dedicated children, and they always had goals, always going for you. Like you never see a super athlete and watch a video about him or read a book on him and be like, oh, he's just natural. Like they just since day one, they wanted it. They wanted it more than anyone else. You always like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Did you watch the Last Dance documentary for Michael Jordan?
I didn't. You didn't? I see Jordan in the background. I know it's on my list.
I have that. I watched it, and the biggest takeaway I got from it was just his dedication to perform. Like he didn't care at all like about anything except winning. That's his main goal was to win, and at all costs really. And it did have some bad aspects to it where some of his teammates didn't like him and this and that, but to this day we regard him as one of the greatest of all time because of that level of dedication that he put in. So it's crazy. So the climb that you're gonna do, when are you planning on doing that climb? That
I'm planning on, it's like, it's really hard to climb in the summer months because the colder, the better. Usually the peak season for climbing is before summer and after summer, because when the rock is cold, it grips so much better. When it gets hot and sweaty and there's sun on the rock, it's really hard. So I'm pretty much going to work them while climbing other stuff, but always go back to them every 2 weeks or so and work them. And maybe hopefully by the end of summer, when it gets cold again, go for a real attempt on it.
Yeah.
And if not, it goes to next year. So
okay.
Hopefully at the end of the summer, I can do at least one of the two. I'm hoping to do at least one of the two.
Yeah.
And if not, the training was there, and next summer back to training to try to send it at the end of next summer.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. The patience, you had to have patience
and it could be three summers.
Yeah. Cause climbing mountains and stuff, it's usually like kind of rainy or bad weather. You don't know what's going to happen at a high elevation. So it's crazy how you never know when it's going to be that perfect time, and you just hope for the best really every time. Yeah.
If you watch example, Adam Hondra, which is probably the best climber right now, and he climbs like the hardest things in the world, right? So he goes to Spain, let's say, to try a climb, but sometimes he doesn't climb for 2-3 days, just waiting for the weather to be perfect. Cause he's just like, there's not enough wind today. And he's just there and he goes train. He comes, he does an attempt. It's not right. Today's not right. I'm going to go back to training. And he just waits. And then on that perfect day, he gives his tries, and usually he gets it. But recently, actually, it didn't go. So yeah. It's going to be for next season, I guess.
Yeah.
Cause, yeah.
Go ahead.
Climbing is hitting the Olympics this year. First time ever. Really? So Adam Andra is one of the athletes. So a lot of these athletes have to put their outside goals aside training for the Olympics.
Okay. Yeah. So this is the first time ever Okay. Is it indoor rock climbing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's three disciplines: speed climbing. I don't know if you've seen those climbers fast. The lead climbing with ropes, and then there's the bouldering. And you have to do all three, which no one does all three. Usually speed climbers speed climb, and then you do boulder and sport, but sometimes you just do one or the other. So now all the athletes this year, since it's starting, it's only 20 females, 20 males. And they have to do all three disciplines. So it's pretty hard for everyone has to train some new disciplines.
Yeah. Different aspects of it. Cause
exactly.
Have you tried speed climbing?
Yeah. I do the speed climbing comps. Okay. I do them all. Like I said, I do everything.
Oh, you do.
I do it all.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. The speed climbing, it looks fun, but it's actually like,
it is fun.
It's one
of the funner ones, one of the ones that are going to be good to watch.
Yeah. It's good to watch for sure. And yeah, I think I saw it on SportsCenter actually, like that one guy, or they're both like on each side, right?
They're both the two best speed climbers in the world, Ali Reza and Bassam Awem from France, and Ali from Iran. They're the two fastest. Ali has the world record right now, unless he got beaten recently. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Is there a specific height that all, like a regulation height?
So boulders and routes and sport routes are going to be in always different, right? In competitions, there's a setter. His job is to set it. The speed route has been the same since the 70s. It's the same speed route. It's 15 meters high. The same holds placed in the same way. You learn it by heart. These guys do it like in practice. They do it like 20 times.
Okay. So all the spots are actually like,
Exactly the same for everywhere. I train on the same speed wall exactly these guys train on.
Okay. It's a race. And it's probably going to get even faster as the years go on. Like of some course, kid yeah, but is going right to continue to grow. Like
under 5 seconds. So it's going to be pretty hard. Okay. But but already, Tomoa Narasaki from Japan just like, since he's a boulderer, he now starts the beginning very different. He like kind of goes and then puts like a high foot, and it's like, it's a bouldering move he brought into speed climbing, but made him skip a move. So a lot of people are starting to use that and getting much faster. So
yeah, it's like a puzzle really. You look at it like a puzzle and try to figure out.
Climbing is a puzzle. That's what it is for bouldering and sport. But the speed climbing, there's a lot of holds that through the years are not even used anymore. Because they just keep figuring out better and better ways to go up.
Yeah. And like you said, it's different for every climber, that maybe one climber is more flexible than the other climber.
Yeah.
And so it's different aspects that will make you better for that specific thing. So yeah, it's good that climbing has now gone to Olympics though. I thought it was always in the Olympics, but
No,
I guess this year. Go ahead. Yeah,
they did a trial for it once. And it was just like a trial, but this is the first time it's officially in. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was supposed to be last year, but yeah, due to COVID, now it's this year.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching the Olympics though, especially the summer ones. I've always watched swimming and basketball. It's like always a fun time to see. It's like the one time where all the greatest athletes around the world, because some of these athletes you don't hear about. I live in the US, and so most of the time I'm only watching and listening to sports that are in the country. And when you have all these athletes around the world come together, you get to hear new names and see these different people, and it's going to be a fun time, I think.
Exactly. I'm excited to watch the Olympics this summer.
Yeah, it's always a fun thing to do. And anything else you want to add here?
I guess not really. I think I think we went through most of
the climbing,
everything. We went through a lot of it.
I know. You got all the whole setup behind you. Is that what you normally use, like all your equipment right there?
Yeah, depending the climbing day I do. If I go bouldering, I just bring a crash pad. If I go sport climbing, I just bring these draws. It's very simple. You just bring draws. And it's when you go trad climbing or multi-pitching, which is like multiple routes one after the other, you got to bring a lot of gear.
Okay.
And I got like 2-3 ropes here, but I only bring one. I have different lengths depending how high the climb I'm doing.
And good luck on your climb. I hope everything works out. The weather is good, you know.
Yeah. And, thanks.
Continue to grow as a climber. And I know this year passion, and I love seeing people that know that this is what they need to do, and they just continue to work on it, focus on it, and get better at it. So I applaud that to you as well.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time, and I hope everybody enjoyed this conversation as well. And cool. It was nice talking to you.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Bye.
Ciao.